All right, ladies and gentlemen, hunting season is here. We've made it to September. Everybody can breathe a big sigh of relief because the best days of the year are finally here. And we thank you for listening to the Big Honker Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by the one and only Pacific Calls. The boys up there have got it going on. They've got the PCD, which I believe is the best duck call out on the market right now. The single reed is a screamer and never gets old. They're also redesigning the 206, making it a little bit more user-friendly, and it's not going to sacrifice anything. It still has that great sound, and if you're a big boy hunter, the 509 would be my recommendation to you. You can check them out at pacificcustomcalls.com, and you can use the promo code BHP25, save you 25% off at checkout. This podcast is also brought to you by Shin Gear Waders. Listen. They've got a promise to you that they will stand behind their waders as long as you stand in them. It is made out of durable nylon. They're not doing this polyester or anything like that. They're making a wader that can take a beating. And if something happens and you do spring a leak, you can send it back to them and they'll get it right back to you in a timely manner. So check them out, shingear.com, and you can get your waders ordered and get them over to your house before the season starts. Like I said, with that kind of guarantee, why wouldn't you buy it? Shingear.com. We're also brought to you by the one and only Dive Bomb Industries, the best silhouette on the market that you can buy, bar none, divebombindustries.com. And they're so much more than just a decoy company. They got bags out. They've got clothes out, jackets. Floaters are in the mix now. They've got teal floaters, mallard floaters, goose floaters, you name it. Dive Bomb is becoming a one-stop shop for your decoy needs. But they're still the biggest decoy maker on the planet. They've got everything that you're going to need, from snows to Canadas to specs. And I always say get the flocked head. Spend a little bit extra. It adds that contrast out in your spread. And, you won't regret it. So check them out at divebombindustries.com and get skinny for 2021. Also, we're brought to you by Boss Shot Shells. Bismuth is back in style. All it takes is one. It hits like a freight train, and it's all made in America. Now, listen, because Joe Biden and COVID and all this other bullshit, shotgun shells are going to get scarce at the end of the year. You're hearing it now. Get your shotgun shells ordered for this hunting season, because if you wait until the last minute, there might not be a lot to pick from. So go to BossShotShells.com right now and get what you're going to need. Don't get more than what you're going to need, but get about what you think that you're going to need. Because powder's getting hard to find. The holes are getting hard to find. Do not wait until the last minute to get shotgun shells, because you're going to be shit out of luck. So go check them out at BossShotShells.com.
That's not even close to being far. You're not even, I don't even know the word. You can't reiterate enough how bad if you want shells.
What is it? Panic?
No, not
create
at all.
Trying to create panic?
No. If you're going to waterfowl hunt this year, you better buy your guns. You should have bought your ammo yesterday. It's that dire. I've seen so many people put places they can't find stuff, and I've noticed a lot of people are talking about they're having to buy 20 gauges.
Right.
There's no 12 gauges almost anymore. So if you want shells, you better buy them now.
Don't wait till the last minute.
And if you're going snow goose hunting in February and March, you better learn how to shoot a wiffle bow or something.
BossShotShells.com. Also, we're brought to you by Lucky Duck. Spinners, if you're going to field hunt, we've always been a big proponent of using spinners out in the field. They've got a big boy dog crate out there. So if you've got a plus-size dog like my boy Lou, they got a kennel for you. It is 5-star crash test rated. Put them back there, strap them down. You're not going to have to worry about Fido whenever you're going 70 down the highway. Spinners are top-notch. They're waterproof. So if you have an uh-oh on a body of water, pick it up, shake it off. Get it going again. Dry it out, and you'll be set and ready to go. Check them out at LuckyDuck.com, and, get whatever you're going to need. Also, they got the best A-frame that's on the market. The 2x4, four grown men, packs up nice and neat, and you don't have to fuck around anymore. Brush it once and be done with it.
And put your dog in that crate.
Yes, put them in there. LuckyDuck.com. Also, we're brought to you by Dirty Duck Coffee. If your coffee sucks, it ain't the duck. That's how I start my morning every day out here at the Big Honker Lodge. And if you walk through our breakfast line, that is how you're going to start your morning too. Dirty Duck, they're made here, right here in Texas. They're introducing new blends to the lineup almost monthly. They've got a Missouri Boat Ride blend that is very, very delicious. They've got the High Velocity, which I like because really gets my engine roaring. Dirty Duck Coffee, and you can taste the difference. So no more shitty coffee early in the morning. Go get Dirty Duck and just be done with it. DirtyDuck.com. We're also brought to you by Gundog Outdoors. Take care of your four-legged friend. They've got a field trauma kit. If you're going out into the field this year, you need to get the field trauma kit. Put it in your bag. Get another one for your pickup. You never know when tragedy is going to strike, and you need to be prepared. So get the field trauma kit from Gundog Outdoors. They've also got, listen, Lou, he's not the most polished dog in the world. He likes to go when the guns go off. So I put the quick release system on him. That way he is right where I think he's going to be at all times when I'm ready to send him. Pull the little chain, quick release, lets him go out, do what he needs to do. They've got new bumpers out. So if you're in the middle of training your dog, their bumpers are very nice, have a soft feel, not going to hurt your dog's teeth if he comes barreling in and wax the bumper. So Gundog Outdoors has got it going on, and they've got everything that you're going to need for your four-legged hunting buddy. Also, we're brought to you by the boys over at the Looking Glass Duck Club podcast, Logan Pyatt, Jeff's twin brother, right?
Well, identical twin.
Identical twin.
We don't act the same, but we look the same.
Mr. Juicy himself and Rebel, y'all put enough pressure on them. You can donate to their Patreon site, and you can get their bourbon review, and you can hear all the debauchery going on.
Lots of debauchery.
Hopefully some of that debauchery comes out here opening weekend of dove season.
I hope so.
He says he's going to try to make it happen. But to listen to those guys, you donate to their Patreon site. I think it's $5 or $6 a month, and you get their entire podcast history. So I highly recommend you checking that out if you're a red-blooded, bourbon-drinking American. Looking Glass Duck Club podcast.
Home of the illustrious potate, the honorable Fezware Shriner himself, Logan Pyatt.
We're also brought to you by Goose Creek Retrievers. Matt Peel, listen, he's a world-class dog trainer. No problem, too big or too small. You can send your pup up to him, and they'll do the dirty work for you. They'll actually housebreak that little bastard. So my hat's off to him for that. And I tell you what, he's on a circuit right now. He's going to all the field trials, the hunt test, and he's raking it up right now. I don't know how he does it. There's no telling how many miles he's put on his pickup, but he's got it going on. All of his hard work is paying off. So if you want to pick his brain, you can follow them on Instagram, Goose Creek Retrievers. He's one of the best dog trainers that's out there right now. I mean, it's not even close. You just look at the body of work that he has. It's impressive. That's at Goose Creek Retrievers. Also, we're brought to you by Bangtail Whiskey. Mr. Brandon Bing has made a delicious whiskey that I have enjoyed all summer long. I make my whiskey sours out of it. Check them out if they're at your local liquor store, Bangtail Whiskey. It's a very good whiskey, and I cannot recommend it enough. So go check them out, bangtailwhiskey.com. We're also brought to you by EyeSight Drone Service. There's no problem too big or too small for EyeSight Drone Service. They send a drone up in the air. They can survey your land. If you've got a teal hole or anything like that, you want to know how much water it's holding or, you know, any of that good stuff, contact the guys over at EyeSight Drone Service, and they can give you an accurate representation of your land.
In today's world, it's the most important thing you can do. I mean, they can do anything you need to do. They can fly over your cattle. They can do a game check for you. They can check your property to see if you've got any kind of oil field damage, storm control, anything. Drones are the way to go. It makes life so much simpler. Contact the guys at EyeSight Drones.
Last but not least, we're brought to you by Stanfield Hunting Outfitters. We've got any weekends, or is it all weekdays at this point?
What on?
Just anything.
I've got... Are we talking about dove hunting?
Anything.
I've got some dove hunting in October open. I've got some waterfowl hunts. I've got waterfowl hunts all 3 months of open. Not tons of days, but I do have dates I can work in. If you got small groups, I can get you in because we've combined them with some other small groups. If you got some big corporate stuff, I still have room available.
So
the COVID, we've lost some customers with COVID. I've had some openings on our calendar come up.
It's going to happen.
And it's going to happen everywhere, and everybody's going through it. If you got a last-minute deal, you're sitting there and you're saying, hey, we want to try to go hunt next weekend, call Fat Jeff and see if he can get you in, because I bet you I'll try my best if we got anything open.
940-658-3172, or you can email goose@westtex.net. Thank you for listening. Okay, boys and girls, this episode of the podcast, we are joined by Will Holcomb V. He is a professional golfer. He just got his pro card. You probably saw him if you're a duck hunter. You probably saw not too long ago, he said he would much rather be in the timber shooting ducks than on the golf course. So he's an interesting kid. I'm telling you what, 23 years old, and it's a really fun podcast, and we hope that you enjoy it. Here he is. Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Boom, and welcome to the Big Honker Podcast brought to you by Shin Gear Waiters. I am Jeff Stanfield with the world fucking famous Andy Shaver.
Somebody sat in my fucking chair and moved all these cords around.
They said that's an uncomfortable fucking chair too.
Well,
all right, we got a winner. We got a winner, folks. Big giveaway this year. And who is the winner?
The Untamed Ginger is what she goes by on Instagram.
Young lady on Instagram, get a hold of me or Andy, and we can give you the details. And congratulations. And congratulations to everybody that entered. And
congratulations to everybody that entered.
Or thank you for everybody that entered.
There you go. That's better.
Congratulations to the young lady who won. And get ready. We're going to do another YouTube giveaway of some sort. Nothing big like that, but we'll do something later on in the month, towards the end of the month. And let's get on with today's show.
I thought you were talking about the winner we got on today's show.
Well, we're going to have the winner on today's show. He is the big winner. He's a golfer. He's from...
Golfer Duck Hunter.
He lives in Coppell, Texas, which is Snob Central there for the Dallas people. Mr. William Holcomb from Stephen F. Austin. Is it Sam Houston State, right?
Oh, my gosh, man. It's Holcomb the Fifth from Sam Houston. Come on now.
Holcomb the Fifth.
Yes, sir.
Lovey deer there. It's the Fifth.
You fucked everything up. He fucks up so many introductions.
Yeah, that's not my forte, is not the intro shit.
Stephen F. Austin, Holcomb.
Yeah, Stephen F. Austin, that's the worst, man. That's the absolute worst.
Is that your
That's a rival. Oh. Yeah.
So are you a professional golfer now? Are you still playing on the amateur circuit?
I'm a professional as of like a week ago.
So you're getting paid?
I wish I was getting paid more, but yeah, I've made one check, one tournament, so I was pretty happy about that.
Now, the reason why I asked that, I've always wanted to know this. If you enter the Masters as an amateur,
okay,
and you would win that thing, can you give up your amateur status and take that check?
You can't give up your amateur status and take the check. Like, I mean, if you win it, you could turn pro essentially the next day, but you wouldn't give up. They wouldn't ever pay you for actually winning. But the amount of endorsements and stuff you would get from winning and the amount of sponsors exemptions, you'd be set for forever. You know, you could play. You'd have a 5-year exemption into every major championship. And I'm sure you'd have some kind of PGA Tour exemption where you could play for at least 2 years minimum. So it'd be a heck of a deal.
So you're saying John Daly's fat ass could stay in M&M's and Diet Cokes just from what he done a long time ago.
Yeah, a lot of guys can benefit from what they've done for sure. Like Phil was given an exemption into the U.S. Open this year. This is before he won the PGA Championship. Obviously, he has an exemption now into the PGA into the U.S. Open because he won the PGA Championship. But they were just going to give him an exemption because he's Phil Mickelson and he's, you know, that's just, you know, that's what they were going to do. So,
I wish I had his money problems.
Me too.
Now, how old were you when you first picked up your first set of golf clubs?
I was about 6. I mean, I've got, you know, my parents have pictures of me playing in the house when I was a little kid. But, I mean, about 7 or 8 years old, we moved out to the 9-hole course where I grew up in Crockett, Texas. That's where I'm a product of. And that's right between Houston and Dallas, middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Middle of everywhere. And so we lived out there while my dad was building the house, and then he realized they were putting a pool in at the country club, and he's a real cheap guy, so he's like, all right, well, we can just live out here and use their pool, and then we can, you know, you know, raise our kids out here. And it was awesome. I mean, it's the greatest place to grow up. There's a huge lake. We'd tube. Me and my friends would be driving around the golf course, like 6 years old in a golf cart. We would play like all day. Like me and I had some older buddies. And so we'd just go have fun. It was like summer camp on steroids, no rules. You know, it was great. So.
And then when did you realize that you got a shot at doing something special here?
You know, when I was about 13, I don't know what it was that the good Lord put in me, but I was like, I'm either gonna, you know, like I want to be great at something. And so I was like, you know, golf, I was pretty good at golf. And I was like, if I, you know, I just saw where Rory McIlroy was. He was kind of the guy when I was 13. He was like 23. And I was like, where do you see yourself in 10 years? And I was like, I see myself doing what he's doing. And here we are 10 years later. I guess you could kind of say I'm doing what he's doing, but not at that level, obviously. But, you know, that was just kind of like, I had this bone in me that I was just going to outwork everybody. And I, you know, it's tapered off some since I got married. I don't think that necessarily needs to be the case. You don't have to work the hardest to be the best, but you know, that's where I was like, here we go.
Is she taking away from your golf course time? Because listen, you're in a profession. Hold on. You're in a profession kind of like I'm in a profession.
Okay.
Cause like I hunt for a living. So when I enjoy what I do or go scout, my wife kind of, she gives me this side eye look like, motherfucker, you're just riding around a pickup looking at ducks and geese. Like this is not work. This is not, you know, you're taking away quality time from us to go hang out with your buddies. Hanging out with my buddies is basically how she sees it. You're in a similar position because you play golf for a living. So to your wife, maybe, she's like, son of a bitch, all you're doing is hitting the golf ball.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've been married for 4 years and she understands it. And she never has ever asked me, hey, can you not practice as much? She might say, hey, you know, quit sitting out there talking to everybody, like get your work done and come home. Which she's right. I mean, a lot of times, you know, I mean, it's 100 degrees out here. You take 10 minutes and then it turns into 30 and you're like, well, I hadn't done anything for 30 minutes. Now, you know, you feel guilty. Then you go practice more and harder. And so, I mean, she's never asked me that. She's been super cool. I mean, I don't do it as a living, but I've gotten in trouble at Sam Houston for duck hunting, for scouting. I mean, like I've gotten in, so like my coach, he gets so mad. I mean, one time he's like, you know, you're gonna be trying to play professional golf in like a year, and you know, you think you're gonna be a pro duck hunter tomorrow or something, like you need to get out here and practice more. And I'm like, I mean, you're right, I do need to practice more. I'm sorry, you know. I'm like, I mean you got me there, but yeah. So she's never though been, you know, like ever said, hey, get home, or you know,
oh,
something like that.
That'll change, trust me. The longer you're married, the more she'll bitch. That's just the way it goes. Now I'm gonna tell you this. You made the right choice, because I've seen a lot of hunting guides' wives, and some of them are not that hot. They might be warm to snuggle up with in the winter, but they ain't, some of them ain't hot. I've never seen a professional golfer with an ugly woman.
Well, I guess I'm another blessed one, because I definitely don't have that problem.
Because old Dustin Johnson, the one that's sleeping with Wayne Gretzky's daughter, whoo, she's hot.
Yeah.
So how old were you when you got married?
I was 19. When I got married, I was a freshman in college. You know, we dated in high school. And she graduated high school right after that. We got married. I grew up. The reason, I mean, I'm sure you're going to ask, why did you get married so young? So
yeah,
the
go
reason
ahead.
I got, so my, I grew up in a Methodist church, you know, grew up going to church, but I was like, yeah, I want salvation, but I don't want to have to repent. I'm going to do whatever the hell I want to do. Cuss, drink, you know, sleep around, do it all. And so I was like, yeah, this is great. I mean, I get to go to, you know, I get all the benefits of heaven, and I don't have to, you know, like, no repentance, no relationship with Christ, nothing. And so I was actually kind of thinking about getting married I guess basically so we could live together. Me and my girlfriend, who's now my wife. And so my parents are like, y'all need to go to this marriage conference. And so they sent us to this conference, and then they talked about like the purpose of marriage and stuff. And so I was like, well, let's get married. And then, I mean, this sounds way better. And then,
so you got married to have sex?
Yeah. I mean, I was having sex outside of marriage.
But, right. But you just felt bad about it.
Yeah. Well, I was like, I mean, I'm not doing it the right way. Like, there's a reason that marriage is set up the way it is, you know. Yes. It's not just because God didn't want us to have fun. I mean, sex and marriage is the greatest thing ever. I mean, it's great. So, you know, I mean, that's just, so that's kind of my testimony. And then I thought, man, all my problems are going to go away. And then they were all just highlighted more when we got married.
Yes.
And I was like, I am like freaking miserable. I'm like, how in the heck am I going to do this? And then, I gave my life to the Lord, and I was like, okay, I mean, this is not, you know, this ain't about me anymore. This is about you and what you want. And I, you know, repented, and I'm still having my struggles like everybody, but you know, he's been faithful to help me with those mountains and get them out of the way. And so, my marriage has been great the last 3 years, and you know,
so,
there we go.
So you got married.
Hold on real quick. The boy had a hell of a save. You were talking yourself in a big old hole there about you got married.
I mean, my marriage is like the best ever. Like, she's going to be pissed that I even told everybody that it's bad, that it was bad. And it wasn't bad because of her. It's bad because I'm selfish. I mean, she, like, I was just, you
You're
know,
doing
I'm living
it again.
For myself. I, you know, that sort of thing. I want it all about me.
You were doing a good job of saving this whole thing, because you were going down a path. I thought, where in the fuck are we going to end up at? At a gay music strip club? I mean, what's going on here? And then and then you pulled it out with God, and he's the
man, for sure.
It was good. And now you're going right back down the rabbit hole again. But I tell you what, for any young kid that's thinking about marriage, they need to listen to that 2 minutes of you explaining that, because you've done a job of confusing the hell out of me, and then you saved it real good at the end. So
and a lot of young kids, 19 years old, think that marriage is going to solve everything. And like you said, it only if you have a problem in your relationship, marriage is only going to magnify that, because now all of a sudden you don't have that easy out of, well, fuck it, I'm just going to go over here and, you know, you're
and do whatever I want.
You're a crazy bitch and, like, just get your shit out of my house and we're done here.
Sure.
You don't have that easy out anymore. Now, all of a sudden, you know, you're married. There is a commitment. There is, for lack of a better word, a contract that is signed between two individuals. So if there's an issue, marriage is definitely not going to solve it.
For sure.
And God's got a good sense of humor. Look at Walmart. I mean, that's living proof right there.
But, no, that's cool, man. You know, 19 years old, you're 4 years into your marriage. And I married my high school sweetheart also. We did things probably kind of like you were doing. But, you know, we got married at a little later into our 20s. Well, I say that. She was 22, I think.
Don't ask me. I can't keep up with.
No. She was 20. She was 21. No shit. No. How old is she now? I got 10 years of marriage. Wait. I got 10 years
You're
of marriage.
You're digging yourself in a hole now.
Yeah,
buddy.
I am.
Our wives don't listen to this show though. Okay. Yours is going to.
That's right.
But you know, we've had our bumps in the road. But if you're gonna get married, you better see it through. So that's
Amen.
Cool.
Let's talk about golf and get off of marriage.
We're all going to dig a hole here.
Golfing has caused more divorces than just about anything other than maybe duck hunting. So, you're playing in – were you playing in the U.S. Amateur Open this year?
Yes, sir. So, I played in the U.S. Amateur for the last 4 years. And the highlight of my career was in 2019. I was a semifinalist. That's like, if I had beat that guy in that match, I would have got to play in the Masters that year. And in the 2019, so, but I didn't beat him. I got beat, you know, and it is what it is. But that's probably the highlight of my amateur career.
How many strokes did you lose by?
I mean, I lost on the 16th hole. I played really well. He was a heck of a player. I was like ranked 330th in the world. I had no expectations I qualified. I didn't even qualify. I was a so in the USAM, there's like 10,000 people that sign up for qualifiers. They go play the you have to have like a certain handicap. You go play the qualifier, and they take the top, you know, two from each qualifier. Well, I played a qualifier in Fort Worth at Mira Vista, and I was the first alternate. And I didn't even stay around, because a lot of times you might have to play in a playoff for first alternate. So once I realized I was first alternate, I was like, the first alternate never gets in. I'm packing my stuff up, and I booked it home. And on my way home, I was like, Lord, I was like, man, if you can move a mountain, you can get me in the USAM. This is like nothing. And then like 2 weeks later, I'm getting ready to go play golf, and I'm like, they give me a phone call, and I knew who it was. I saw a New Jersey number, and I answered it. I thought they were going to get mad at me for leaving without getting my paperwork and all that stuff. And they said, do you want to play? You know, there's a spot open. I was like, I'll be there. And I started crying. It was amazing. I mean, because I was so happy I got to play in it. And then I ended up, you know, coming out and tearing it up.
So where did – who was it? Was it – Who was it that asked you about playing golf or duck hunting?
So Curtis Strange, I don't know, he's like deer hunting guy. He works for Fox.
Yes.
He interviewed me after my round of eight in the USAM when I came off the green. He said, would you rather be playing in the semifinals of the US Amateur or shooting ducks in the flooded timber? And I said, shooting ducks in the flooded timber, 100%. Because I wouldn't have had to drive so far, and, you know, wouldn't have had to deal with all the other stuff with golf. But, yeah. And I mean, truthfully, you know, obviously golf, but I'd rather be playing the semifinals. I mean, but
right.
I was like, I knew what to say.
Yeah. And then that went viral. That was everywhere after you said that. So, I mean, it put you on the map.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm a little bit different than most of these other golfers. I don't know. If you can tell by the hair, and
we can tell.
John Daly,
the twang.
John Daly's got a lot of that going on, though.
Yeah, no, John Daly's great. He's great.
He's a funny dude. I'm telling you right now, he's the best character in golf. Now his son's supposed to be a hell of a golfer. It's coming up.
Me and his son played together in a practice round 2 or 3 months ago in an amateur tournament up in Pennsylvania, and his son was a super nice kid, good player. I thought he's going to hit it farther, but.
How far do you hit it? Just put this rumor to rest.
No, I don't hit it far at all. I hit it like 285 on the fly. That's about what I fly.
So what makes your golf game so good? Are you good on in the middle or what?
I'm gritty.
Gritty.
I'm gritty.
Explain
gritty,
that.
Gritty, yeah. I'm going to try harder than freaking everybody else. I'm going to make an up and down. You know, when I'm screwed, my putting is probably one of the best parts of my game for sure, which is, I mean, the most important part of the game. And it wasn't always that way, but just, I would just say my try, like I want it more than anybody. And, you know, like that's just kind of, I just kind of find a way sometimes just to get the ball in the hole. So that's how I'd classify it as greedy.
You said you cashed a check this last month in a tournament.
Yes, sir.
What kind of tournament you play in?
I played in the Oklahoma Open. It's just a small professional tournament, and you just sign up and say, hey, I'm a pro, and they'll let you play in it, and you pay, you know, $500 or $600, and it's basically organized gambling, pretty much.
How did you do? What place did you get?
I got ninth.
What's got ninth place playing that?
1,700. So you I had a week of expenses, too, so, I mean, you're not taking home that much, but.
So you didn't make any money then?
I made like $500.
So to play golf, when's your next amateur gambling deal here coming on? Or
I'm leaving tomorrow morning to go to Nebraska. Me and my wife are going to drive up there, and it starts Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So
where are you playing at up there?
Columbus, Nebraska.
Where in the fuck is Columbus, Nebraska?
It's like northwest of Lincoln. I was trying to figure out if I can look at some public land on the way up there, because I want to go on a little trip this over Thanksgiving week, go hunting up there somewhere.
So what's the entry fee on this one you're going to?
It's like $5.75.
And how many? And is it a 4-day tournament, or is it just like the ones you got to make the cut?
Yeah, you got to play 2 days, and you make a cut, and then 1 day. Some are 3 days, some are 4 days. Just depends on the tournament, where it is, who's running it. And this is just run by the Nebraska PGA Association. So,
now, how do you stay fresh on like a 4-day tournament?
What do you mean stay fresh?
What do you mean?
I mean, you know, you get fucking worn down.
You're playing fucking golf.
That's a lot of golf. That's a lot of swinging.
I mean, it is the swinging is not the hard part. I'd say the hard part is mentally. I mean, like, just focusing is, you know, the hard part, or the wind, or, you know, the 10-hour drive I got coming up tomorrow morning, and then I got to wake up at probably 5:30 the next day and stretch, get ready, and go play my practice round, and then, you know, turn around and play the next day. That's probably the fatigue on your mind, and, you know, the travel, you know, gets you more than necessarily the golf does. But 3 days, not that bad. I mean, the USAM, it's like a 10-day tournament. That one will wear you down for sure.
Okay, how many people will enter this Nebraska tournament?
Like 140.
So $140. They got $70,000 prize package. Is that right?
Yeah. It's about, I mean, it depends. They charge you different if you're out of state. They charge you different if you're an amateur, because amateurs can't win money. They just charge you different depending on who you are. But they have sponsors too. So I think the purse is like $66,000. Winner gets $12,000, and it kind of tapers off after that. That's with a full field.
If you you go to Nebraska, then after that, where's your next tournament at?
Up in Gunter, Texas. That's first stage of Q School.
And when does that start?
That starts the last week in September 28th through the 1st of October.
So if you don't win some tournaments, you're going to be a hungry sumbitch while you're doing all this. This is not a get-rich scheme at all.
No. Man, this is like every dime these jokers make on TV, they deserve every bit of it. I mean, they're the work that they put in to get there, I don't care if they're getting paid $100 billion. I mean, they earn it because, I mean, these guys are eating the right things. They go to bed at the right time at night. They don't, I mean.
Whoa, hold on.
They don't drink. They don't, I mean, it's like.
John Daly. John Daly.
Okay, John Daly does it.
Okay.
This ain't, John Daly was in 1998 or when, I don't know when they won. But this is a different game today. I mean, Tiger's changed the game with fitness and all this stuff.
Whoa, hold on. Again, you're not using good examples.
He did. Tiger's a fucking fitness fanatic.
He was fucking hookers with no condoms. He said living the right life and doing all this stuff right. He just.
Tiger did that on his private time, but he still came ready to play.
What about Dustin Johnson? Don't he like the booger sugar?
Yeah, he does like
okay, booger. There you go.
I've heard.
I'm just pointing out.
No, you're right. Like, these guys, I mean, everybody's going to do something wrong. But what I'm saying is, Dustin Johnson can dunk a basketball. I mean, like, Tiger Woods is, like, just the greatest to ever play. I mean, he could, you know.
They're good athletes. Kind of stuff.
He's still going to win, yeah. Well, but then you get, like, Rory McIlroy. This guy's, like, I mean, they have Jon Rahm, and he's a little heavy set like myself. He won the U.S. Open. He's talking about it in one of his interviews. He's talking about a chef cooking him breakfast and stuff. I mean, they eat like the purest. Like, this is like feeding a racehorse or something. I mean, they are.
Yes.
These guys are doing it right.
So what
this
are you
is calculated?
What is your chef cooking you then?
That's his wife.
I'm the cook in my house. All right, my wife is not the cook. I cook because I like to eat, and I know what's good, and I can cook good. So that's all. But you know, we have a little steak, had a little deer sausage for lunch today, and fajita bowls tonight for dinner.
So you're the chef in this house.
We all kind of stuff. I am the chef, 100%.
Okay, so
now do you not like her cooking, or is it just...
Her cooking is good. Her mother is a phenomenal cook, but she never decided to teach her anything. I can go over to her mom's house, and I can eat about freaking 3 plates of ribs. I mean, she can throw it down, but... I just know what I like, and I know how to cook it, and so I just kind of stick to that.
So, Matt, let's go to Q School now. Q School is going to be in Gunner, Texas, right?
Yes, sir.
I think we have another friend of ours that's going to be at this Q School. How many people will be in Q school?
150 at that site. There's different sites. There's like a site down in Houston. There's a site in Gunter. There's a site in like Utah. You know, Nebraska's got a site. They got 100 different places you could choose from. I chose Gunter because I could stay at home, and I mean it's close by. You know.
So if you win this Q school, do you get a PGA card?
So if I win this, there's three. It's like a pyramid. There's like 13 first stages. Okay, so you're at the bottom of the pyramid. Then the top 10. I'm just going to use the same example. I don't know how many it is. I'm just going to try to win and hope that that's enough. The top 10 from every school will advance to the next stage, and they will be played at three or four different sites. And then the top, you know, 10 or 15 from those will go to the finals. And then at the finals, you're given a Korn Ferry tour card, which you will have status on the Korn Ferry tour, some status. If you play in finals, you're guaranteed to play in some Korn Ferry tour event.
Korn Ferry?
Korn Ferry tour. It's like a stepping stone to the PGA tour. Go ahead.
Is that the old Nationwide Tour?
Old Nationwide Tour used to be the web.com. It was like the Nationwide, then the web.com, and now it's the Korn Ferry.
Okay, it's the minor league to get into the pros.
It's the minor league. Okay. Yes. And so if you are like top 25 at the end of season points on the Korn Ferry Tour, you secure your PGA Tour card for the following year. And then if you're the other top 25 in the Korn Ferry Tour playoffs, you secure your card for the PGA Tour. And if you're not, you know, you want to be at least keep your card. That's, you know, you don't want to lose it.
So to get on the Korn Ferry Tour, you got to go through this qualifying deal.
Yes, sir.
What that Korn Ferry Tour then, what's a Korn Ferry Tour? Do they have them every week also like they do the PGA?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They have them all over the country. I mean, you know, they'll have them. I mean, they're a little bit probably in more, you know, rural areas, but yeah, they got them all everywhere.
There's a lot more steps to getting your PGA card than what I thought.
Oh, yeah, it's hard.
It's not signing up on a piece of paper. That's what people are like, oh, you're a professional? Oh, my gosh. I'm like that doesn't mean anything just because I say that. I mean, I don't have any, like, sponsors, you know, nothing. You know, you're out here fighting for everything. Once you get there and you're on TV, then they start, you know, that's when they start taking care of you. But
I figured with your you know, with your comment about, you know, duck hunting and stuff, that some sponsors would have come up.
You know, I've been thinking about this, and I think that Sitka needs a line of golf gear to keep you dry. I mean, it rains out there. They need to make a golf gear line, and they're the best at, you know, keeping you dry when you're duck hunting. So,
you know, you're on the number one waterfowl podcast in the world. We touch more waterfowl hunters than any waterfowl podcast.
Well, I'd love to, you know, be like,
so this is a good
chance. double endorsed. I'd love it. Well, you know, sick could be great, you know, whoever out there, you know, well, this wants to make a splash in both markets.
This is a good place to whore yourself out is what I'm saying.
We do it every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, we do it. We do it all the time. But yeah, I thought you would, you know, you win a couple of these amateur bouts and then, you know, you get your card and off you're running.
So if you win like a couple of the biggest, if you're like top, so in college golf, they have a new deal. It's called PGA Tour U, but it's rigged totally for the bigger schools. It's a bunch of, I mean, it's a great opportunity, but it's like, in my opinion, it kind of pissed me off, and the way they did it really pissed me off with the agents and stuff. So the top five players in college get their Korn Ferry Tour card, and the top 6 through 15 get their Canadian Tour card, okay? So the Canadian Tour leads to the Korn Ferry Tour, which leads to the PGA Tour. So you basically, you just want to play on some tour that can lead you to a better tour. Does that make sense?
Yep.
And then, but in college, like, if you played in a PGA Tour event that your agent got you into, so say, you know, you can't sign with an agent, but they can kind of work for you while you're, you know, in college. So say these kids, they just signed up for, like, San Antonio was a good example. There was several players that played in San Antonio, and some of them made the cut. but you wouldn't, but some didn't, and you wouldn't even have to make the cut, and you would get points to go towards, you know, that PGA Tour you think, you know, just because your agent signed you up.
What kind of money do pro? Let's say you're at Tour 18 and you're the golf pro there.
Okay, that's like the worst job ever. Okay.
Being a golf pro sucks.
Dude, you have to work on the weekends, like every weekend.
Well, yeah.
You don't even get to play golf a lot, and you have to like go listen to like members, and they tell you what to do all the time, and like, I mean, it's just like, I don't know. I would if I don't play professional golf, I won't be in the golf business unless I'm like, I mean, I could see myself maybe being like an agent or something like that, but I would never want to be like work at selling golf shirts or something. That sounds like no.
He's a hell of a salesman for golf pros and marriages. I'm telling you right now. So
I'm just telling you, like, I mean, and it's not that fun. I don't like golf that much to do that either. I mean, do it because I'm good at it.
What right. kind of money do them guys make, though, if you're a golf pro at a big fancy country club?
At a big fancy country club now, you're making probably, you know, $200-$250, I think, on like a high end. Depends on, you know, if it's in California or if it's in Texas. Obviously, those numbers change a little bit. But, yeah, you're making over $100,000 for sure a year.
So you,
if you're at a good club, but if you're at a mediocre club, you know, you're probably making $60,000.
Okay, let's
– your head pro.
Let's say one of the big fancy schmancies in Dallas. You're going to make $150,000 a year as a golf pro?
Something around there, yeah.
And you wouldn't want to do that?
Nope.
You got to know. Listen, you've said this all the time, Jeff. If you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life.
That's exactly right.
But if you hate what you do, that's what so many people, especially a lot of guys that listen to this podcast, they schlub to work every day. They punch a time card. They hate what they do, and it's just a cycle that they got into that they – and these – you know, there's a lot of guys. We have hunters all the time that are making six figures, working that job that's making them $150,000 a year, and they hate what they do every single day of the week. So if you can find your niche and find what you love to do and pursue that, you've won at life. And it can be anything. It can be table making.
I totally agree.
It can be – there's so many ways to make a living. We had a guy out here, you know, he resurfaces driveways. I never knew you could do that. There's so many ways in today's world that you can make a living.
And does very, very well for himself.
And do very well for yourself.
And he's happy. He likes what he does, and he's his own boss and does his own thing. And I love to hear a younger guy, because he's a younger guy and he's become a friend of ours. And I'm very proud of him. I mean, he's done very well for himself. It just makes you feel good to find people that make a living doing something different than punching a clock 8 to 5.
But he found a niche. He found a hole that needed to be filled. He found his way, and you know he's reaping the benefits for it. So there's so many ways to make a living.
Let's say this golf thing. How long are you gonna give it? 5 years?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, it just depends. Like, I mean, if my wife, if she was pregnant or something, which we're not trying to have kids, like, I'm not going to let my kid grow up
poor
without me being, well, yeah, that and without me being around. I mean, you know, I wouldn't, like, everybody thinks it's all glamorous. Like, oh, yeah, you're a pro golfer. Like, no, you're staying in a hotel. You know, luckily my wife's job is remote, so she can travel with me. But, like, I'd be miserable out there just sitting in a hotel in Columbus, Nebraska, all by myself, like, trying to win a golf tournament. And then, you know, you're going to have bad days at every job, but you play bad, you're like, oh, is this really for me? And, I mean, that sounds literally miserable. That sounds like the worst job ever. But yeah, I'll probably give it 5 years.
What? So that's your if you don't have it in 5 years, if you can't get on the PGA Tour in 5 years, you're gonna.
If I'm close, if I'm real close, but I'm just not, I'm not quite over that head, but I'm like, I know I'm close, then I'd keep pursuing it.
Because there's guys.
But if I'm like where, if I'm in the same stage I am now, heck no, I'm done.
But there's guys that are 40 years old that are still trying to get a PGA Tour card.
Well, I'd rather. I don't know. I'd start a business or something.
Well, what would you like to do if you weren't a pro golfer?
So, like, my end goal is to kind of do something like what y'all do, but it would be, like, hopefully I'd be a professional golfer and have millions to blow. But I would have, like, I would basically give hunts away and, you know, like, to, like, charities and stuff. And they could, like, it would just be 100% charity. And then I'd also have, like, you know, I'd like to have the guides and stuff be, like, people who are coming out of rough situations, you know, maybe it's prison or something, you know, and just kind of feed into them and help them get back on their feet. And
you got a good heart.
But I want to do what I love. And that's what I love. I love hunting. Like, I mean, if they paid as good as they do golf for duck hunting, that's what I'd be doing.
Well, it does not.
I can tell you from a.
I know. Sorry, boys.
For 30 years of being in the hunting business, I can tell you this right now. You're not going to have any problem finding charities that want free shit because they come out of the woodwork. And second, I've hired a guy that used to go that was in prison, tried to help him, and that's hard to
fix.
Didn't
work
too.
Out.
That didn't.
Yes, sir.
Who?
Well, who?
Hold on. In prison.
Who was in prison that came to work for us that used to be in prison?
I don't remember.
They don't have Hodge. To be in prison, but, you know.
Oh, he worked at the – he wasn't a guide, was he?
No, Ed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But he wasn't a guide.
No, but I tried my best.
Yeah, it you know. Listen.
My experience down them roads.
And I don't know.
It's tough.
I don't know how many, like, reformed waterfowl guides come out of prison. Like, I think most waterfowl guides try to stay out of prison.
The ones that I know
well,
that
might
have
not
went
be
to
a guide. Maybe they just cleaning birds or something.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
I mean,
well, you know, you'll find plenty of them.
I'm trying to help people. Like, sure. I want people to, you know, just invest in. I want to invest in people in that way. And, you know, I'd love to have it, you know, on the weekends have, like, kids that are, you know, in tough situations or just kids at all, you know, pour into them, bring them hunting and, you know.
Yeah, people helping just, people. That's what this world's about. People helping
that's
people.
That's right. Jeff. Exactly.
So.
What?
I'm just thinking about those charities, but I'm going to tell you right now, I get hit up from charities everywhere. First of all, Ducks Unlimiteds are not charities. They think they're charities, but they're not a charity. But
this would be definitely ministry based. Like,
yeah.
this ain't just, you know, hey, we need something. No, I mean,
I've known some people that found Jesus after they've been to a DU banquet the next day, but I've got a ton of Ducks Unlimited guys that call me all the time wanting shit for free. I'm like, gosh mighty.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. That ain't going to happen. I mean.
Oh, it will.
I'm sure I'll give to them, but it ain't going to be. That's not who the target market is.
The worst I've ever had was an uppity private school in a big city in Texas wanted me to donate a hunt for their scholarships for their kids that go to school there. Listen, if you're paying $25,000 a year for your kid to go to a private high school in the Metroplex, you don't need my free hunt.
No.
You can afford
that. I agree.
And that's the kind of shit that gets old fast.
So do you enjoy your wife being on the road with you? Does it help you?
Yeah.
Or does it kind of a distraction?
I mean, definitely helps. I mean, she knows I'm there for work and, you know, she bases her schedule around mine, which is, you know, super nice of her. But, no, it helps. Sometimes she's catty for me.
Really? Now, I don't know that I'd like that because I don't need my wife telling me what to do out in the goose field.
No, listen. I'm not really a big fan of caddies. I've had one great caddy. Other than that, I usually kind of get screwed. But
how so? How do you get screwed? How'd you get screwed?
Well, they just say the wrong things.
Oh.
You know,
and you think your wife's going to be different?
No, my wife doesn't say a word. That's the thing. She doesn't know enough to say anything.
Right.
So
that
she
never kept mine from talking.
Yeah. Mine tells me all the time shit she doesn't know about.
Yeah.
Well, if mine understands, you know, if she says the wrong thing, we might not get to eat. And how pissed I'm going to be, and she doesn't want to put up with all that. So she just doesn't say anything. If you don't have anything, if you're questioning whether to say something to a golfer and you're caddying for him, keep your mouth shut. That's the number one rule.
So what do they say wrong? Like you got a shot coming up and they're like, oh yeah, you need this.
Like twice. Okay. Like my mind is so scatterbrained and it's going around 100 miles a minute, you know, every minute. And like this guy who caddied for me, we had like 230 yards to the pin. Well, the pin was in the back and I was like, okay, 230 is into the wind. So
like playing like 250. I'm like, okay, I need to bust the three wood to get it to the green. It's a par four. Well, I just grabbed the three wood and hit it. And I hit it over the green. My ball is in the just tall grass. It's done. Like, I have to chip it out sideways, and I hit it on the green. Then I two-putt, make double bogey, go on my life. But anyways, like, I only had 200 to the front edge. And if I hit it short, I have a chance to make up and down. But if I hit it long, I have no chance to make up and down. So he should have been like, well, you have 200 to the front edge. If you hit a really good 3-iron, I think you can get it to go to like 210, then we're on the green, we make par. So the worst I would have made is par bogey. But my mind, I mean, this is like super intense time to make that mistake. Shouldn't have been made. That mistake should not have been made in that, where we were at with everything. And so, like, that to me is like, dude, I flew all the way up here. I've spent thousands of dollars, and we're going to make that mistake, and we might not make the cut because of that one mistake. Like, that's, you know, I've played so well up all into this point. You know, there's such a fine line between good and bad out there. So
he didn't say anything. He just let you grab the three wood, and you smashed it too far over. Where he should have been like, listen, do this.
He should have at least brought up the fact that we had 200 to the front edge.
Was he just inexperienced?
Who told you it was 230, him or you?
No, we shot it. We have a rangefinder, so we know it's
looked
230.
At the pin.
That's established.
So who fucked up then?
Well, as a caddy, you should know what the front edge is. I mean, that's like not that – that's not a hard thing to do. But, I mean,
that's why
I just like – doing my own thing, because then at the end of the day, well, then who messed up? Well, it's 100% me. Right. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather it be all on my shoulders. But an experienced, a good quality caddy, the best traits you're going to get is like, they're going to tell you not where to miss it. They're not going to be like, hey, miss it short, because you never say where to miss, or you might say, you just want to say where to hit it. Like, one guy told me one time, he said, don't hit it right of this pin. Well, hell, all I'm thinking about is hitting it right of the pin. Well, guess what? What am I going to do? Hit it right of the pin. I'm screwed. Bogey. You know, like, that's not what you do. Or, like, one time this other guy, he told me, hey, this putt swings. Well, that's like, you need to say, hey, just see it going in, you know, or something. All positive, you know. So, anyways, I just usually kind of like doing my own thing. But if somebody has to carry the bag, I'll have my wife or my dad or somebody. You know, they're not going to say, my dad, he doesn't know much about. He knows about golf, but he doesn't know enough to give me advice or anything. So he's just going to keep it positive, keep it light. And, you know, like, so, I don't want a caddy reading the greens. I can read greens. Like,
sounds to me like fucking golfers about like a wife. If they fuck something up, it's your fault whether you say something or you don't say something.
Exactly.
Is that what you're getting out of this, Andy?
That's exactly. I mean, it's always the caddy's fault.
100%. Yeah. I mean, fuck. It's exactly what it sounds like.
Because you grabbed the three wood.
Yeah.
And he didn't say anything.
Yeah, it's his fault for not saying nothing.
And that's his fault.
And then a guy tells you, don't hit it to the right side. Then you hit it to the right side. Well, fuck, it's his fault for telling you don't hit it to the right side.
Well, he should have said, make sure you keep it left of this pin. I mean, it's not, you know.
So,
that's the same thing he said.
No, that's not what he said. I see what you're saying. When he says, hey, don't hit it right, that's all you're thinking about.
All you're thinking about is right.
But if he'd have said,
right is in your head.
But if he'd have just said, hey, keep it to the left of the pin, well, now all of a sudden, like, you know, you don't have this doom and gloom, like, what the fuck if I do hit it to the right? Like, that's all you're staring at if he says, don't hit it right.
You know what?
But if he says, hey, keep it to the left of the pin.
Could you imagine?
Then that's different. That is a different statement. Then I can see where it affects him.
Can you imagine being a fucking caddy?
Positivity.
That's right.
Imagine being a caddy on the LPGA Tour and having to deal with a fucking woman golfer, how hard that must
be. Well, all the caddies on the LPGA Tour are the dads. Because these dads are, like, so invested in their daughters. It's like, I don't understand it at all. Like, and they're so invested in their kids. I mean, they're like, you know, tell them every little thing they do wrong. Is, I mean, just let, like, just my dad, best thing he ever did was never say a word. Just let me do my thing. And, you know, he's there to pick me up when I fell and, you know, tell me, you know, we could talk about it. But he's never, hey, man, your swing looks different, or what are you doing? Or, you know, he's just, you know,
right.
If your kid wants to be good, they're going to be good. If they don't really care, then they won't really care ever.
Hey,
so just let them do their own thing.
What do you shoot right now? What's your handicap?
My handicap's like +4.5. I don't really like the question, what do you shoot? Because, like, this golf course that's behind me right here, it's the hardest golf course. It's the second hardest in the United States. I mean,
I can shoot two over out here and feel like I played great, you know.
What course but is then that?
Merido Golf Club in Carrollton.
And it's the second hardest course in the U.S.
Yes, the guy who owns it designed it all, and he's so thoughtful. Like, they're having a tournament out here. It's going to be on Golf Channel in, like, 2 weeks – or not in 2 weeks. Like, the first part of this coming week, like a week from today, it'll be on Golf Channel. It's a college tournament.
Where is it at in Carrollton? I used to live there in the 80s.
It is right between Beltline and, I guess, Kelly Boulevard, Sandy Lake. And Sandy Lake runs into Kelly. It's right between Beltline and there. It used to be an old Jewish club. I don't know what it was called, but that's what they all say, is it used to be an old Jewish club. And they got a bunch of lessers out here on this lake in the winter. I don't know where they've been. They were here this summer. They eat the crap out of the grass, and they got these two border collies that chase them around and stuff. And I mean, it pisses them off. There's so many geese out here, and they eat the fairway and poop on the greens and all kind of stuff. So
now, do you ever go to these country clubs and try to win some money off the? How often do you rook these guys out being a professional golfer?
I mean, they know how good. I mean, they know. They usually know how good I am, but I mean, I go home and play in the. We've got a game in my hometown that we. I mean, they act like I'm. You know, the same. Like we play, we hedge the bets where it's fair. You know, I can't afford to play with these guys out here necessarily. I mean, you know, they want some of these. I mean, I'll play with the other professionals. We'll play for $5 or $10 or 20 or you know. I mean, I don't want to lose more than 50. Or I feel like you know, like that's kind of my. Uncomfortable zone. If I, you know, 100 is really my uncomfortable zone. Anything over that, I wouldn't want to lose just one day out here on the golf course. You know what I mean?
So the hair doesn't throw anybody off. Like everybody, your reputation precedes you.
The hair, yeah, it doesn't. I mean, I wish I've thought about hustling people, but I'm not going to go and get some crappy clubs. And in fact, I thought I was going to hustle some people. I got a funny story. So me and two of my buddies go down to Bernie to play in this golf scramble. Well, I'm thinking there's nobody in Bernie that's any good, and we could win 3 200-inch deer.
Cool.
And I'm like, man, that's a heck of a prize, you know. So we go down there, and I dress like an idiot. I mean, I didn't even hardly wear golf shoes. I mean, I was just shirt untucked, you know. Probably wore this hat, and we go play, and I get out there, and there's like three professionals on every team, and me, one of my buddies, and the other one that just drinks all the time. So the one who drank all the time, he was the one that weighed us down. We didn't end up winning the deer. You know, we lost by like two shots. But like, I thought we were going to hustle a bunch of, you know, ranchers down in Bernie, and Turns out everybody from everywhere knows about this tournament, and they want to come win a big deer. So
they had the same thing on their
mind. You
exactly.
So when you play, you're only playing. You're playing for $50 for 18 holes. Is that what you're saying?
No, what I'm saying is I wouldn't like. Okay, I'm not out. Like, I'm not like some of these guys are playing for thousands of dollars. Like they play like $100 a hole, birdie, double, eagle, triple. Like you could lose like $8 to $1,000, $800 to $1,000. Like I'm not gonna lose $800 to $1,000 in one day playing golf. I mean, like not even. I mean, I'd be mad at myself. I can only imagine how mad my wife would be. Oh, you just pissed away $1,000. Like, great job, you know.
Well, first I mean, you don't tell her.
Yeah, no, well, she would be able to tell because if I lost $1,000 playing golf, like my whole demeanor would change when I walked out of the house.
I don't have a lot. I play golf some. Used to play a lot. But I used to play for
– What was your handicap, Jeff?
Oh, I was nowhere near to be playing with this kid. I'd be playing – I could shoot anywhere from 82 to 88 usually. I'm a scratch. Okay. I mean, I'm just a bogey golfer. Nothing great.
15 handicap.
Yeah, but I used to play all the time. We'd play $10 a hole.
Oh, yeah, I'll play that.
That's $180 is the most I could lose in a day.
Yeah, well, you're not going to lose every hole.
So well, I said that once. But, I mean, but if I lost 50 to 100 bucks, it was not that big. I mean, but that's the guys I was playing with. But if I was as good a golfer as you are, I'd be trying to play them fuckers for 500 to 1,000.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, if it's a bunch of suckers, like, yeah, I mean, you want to play? You think you play with me? Come on, let's go. But, you know,
most of, like, at this course, it's so hard. Nobody's out here that can't play good, and then they want you to give them a couple shots, and, you know, I mean, it just depends on where you're at, who you're with, I mean, how much you're willing to play for. But I mean,
if you're going to be on the PGA Tour, you got to start playing and fucking hustling them fuckers.
It's not like I can just say, hey, let's play for 500, and now, oh, yeah, let's go.
I bet you can find somebody.
Sure.
But see, the thing
I just hadn't looked hard enough.
That's a private
club. I need to, that way I can come hunting with y'all.
Is that a private club?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
There's fuckers there that get $500 ain't shit to them. If they lose $500 and they lose to some kid with a mullet, they don't care. They want to try to beat you.
It's not a mullet. That's long hair.
Oh, okay.
That's Trevor Lawrence. You're
Trevor
baby.
Shanahan.
That's right.
That's Trevor Lawrence.
I'm trying to grow it out. Donated. I was just growing it out, and I was like, hell, Trevor, came this far, might as well give it away.
Trevor Lawrence is not a pretty individual.
His looks like woman's hair.
He looks like that. Do you remember those kids, the Dudensangs or whatever it was that used to have the show on MTV where they were in Norway?
No.
The Duden, whatever. Somebody will correct us on this shit. He looks like one of them fuckers. So, anyways, you go find them exclusive. You go in that pro shop in there, and you see the fucker that's got the money. You know the guy that wears the Rolex and flashes around the big wad of money like he's somebody? The guy that's got his shirt unbuttoned with his gold chains and his hairy chest, that fucker right there, you can say, hey, Pops, you want to try to play for some money? And if he thinks he can golf, he'll play you for $500 just so he can beat your ass, he thinks.
For
and if
sure.
he loses $500, sure. he don't care.
Well, it's funny you said that because, like, you know, I'm going to this tournament in Nebraska, and it's like organized gambling. You know, I'm playing good players. You know, there'll be tons of good players there, that sort of thing. And my instructor told me one time, he said, you can spend money going, traveling, and playing these professionals, or you can, you know, find some suckers at home. And he said, they pay just as good, and they, you know.
That's right.
Their funds are unlimited, you know. So,
yep.
I definitely need to get more aggressive on that one for sure.
There's trust fund babies in that club that are living off of anywhere from $10,000 to $50,000 a month and more, and that are $10,000 to $50,000 a week. They don't give a fuck. If they lose $500, they got money. Money's not an option to them. My dad used to know an old guy around Wichita Falls that used to hustle golf, and he was a pool shark. And this was back in the early 70s, and he would play for $100 to $500 a pool game, 9-ball. And he used to play golf, and he would go work these country clubs, but he used he would tee off with a slingshot. He would use a Coke bottle, and when he got on the green with his golf cue stick, they said he could make a ball for any putt. He made every putt he ever tried, and he used to take a lot of money, they said. I'd like to have seen this myself.
So, I'd like to have seen that, too, because that sounds like some cool talents, but doesn't sound like golf.
So what now? He'd take a slingshot.
He'd take a slingshot and tee off with a slingshot.
But he'd put the ball in a fling that.
And would use that or a Coke bottle, and then he would use his pool stick when he got on the green.
How the hell would he use a Coke bottle?
He would hit the ball with a Coke bottle.
That seems silly.
I'm just telling you what Dad told me.
I think Ron got lied to about, like he said.
No, Dad was good friends with this old boy.
Well, I think he lied.
Matter of fact, the guy's son hunts with us. I'll ask him this year when he's here.
That seems a little far-fetched. How do you hit it with a Coke bottle?
I don't know. That's the only part of it I don't understand. I understand the slingshot deal. I can understand that.
You got me with slingshot and pool cue. You lose me with Coke bottle.
That makes sense. Yeah, I agree.
You lose me with Coke bottle. Do you think a sports psychologist would help you at all? Maybe calm your mind down when you're playing golf, or do you kind of like the chaos that goes on in your head?
I mean, I think if you've seen my like routine and hit a ball, like, I mean, I'm fidgeting the whole time. I'm like Keegan Bradley, but I don't know if. Listen, I've got a sports psychologist. I talked to her this morning, actually. I was telling her how excited I was to be on the podcast. Uh-huh. And I don't know if any sports psychologist could calm me down enough for me not to be fidgeting and stuff. But it's definitely helped 100% quiet my mind. And, I mean, it's just helped everything. I mean, it was a big, big thing for us to move up here from Huntsville and, you know, just kind of during trying to play amateur golf, trying to, you know, play well enough where maybe I could ask for some PGA Tour starts and stuff like that. And, you know, so she's helped immensely with, you know, just life and golf and how they are intertwined and that sort of thing.
Where do you see more nut cases at, on the golf course or in the duck camp?
I don't know. Y'all's duck camp might have more nut cases.
We got a
but
lot.
But I mean, dude, you see some crazy people on the golf course for sure.
Do you see people with like just these like crazy routines like before they hit a ball and stuff, like you know?
Oh, well, I'm the only one. I mean, yeah, you see people with these slow routines. I'm like pretty crazy. Like I'm just fidgeting the whole time until I pull the trigger. I'm just moving, and that's why I think I shoot a shotgun. Well, I thought I did. I thought I shot a shotgun better than I played golf, but I went dove hunting this weekend and it was ugly. I couldn't hit nothing.
So
they're fast little bastards.
So there's a lot of quirky fuckers on the golf tour?
I mean, there's more of them are pretty monotone and boring, but there are a few quirky ones. There's definitely, like, I'm in the 10% of quirky. And then the other 90% are pretty solid.
Now, I'm a little quirky when it comes to hunting, you know, like, if I'm beating them up pretty good, you know, I'll wear the same clothes. I don't wear the same underwear. I do change underwear and socks regularly, but, like, you know, if I've got like an undershirt that's working, I'll wear it until it quits working. Do you have anything like that you notice about yourself whenever you're playing golf?
You know, I mean, obviously, like, I don't know. I've got like a ball marker I always use.
Right.
And I've got like, you know, I've got like my final, the last day outfit, I always wear all black. Mm-hmm. I think it looks good. But, you know, nothing super crazy. I mean, I've got, like I'm real hesitant on switching clubs and stuff because I know what works and, I know how it performs. But I think that'd be more like switching a call up or something.
Right.
But no, I mean, I always mark my ball the same, that sort of thing.
Do you, have you been around a bunch of PGA guys? Have you played golf with any PGA guys?
Yeah, for sure.
What advice have they given you? Relax?
The one guy I played with, okay, he said good golf is good golf. The reason these guys are on the PGA Tour is because their bad golf is better than everybody else's bad golf. Mm-hmm. But, like, if you took the top 50 players, I mean, okay, I'd say the top 25 to top 50 players in the world, when they're playing their best, like, the other 100 behind them, I don't think can beat them even if they're playing their best. Unless they're not to the top 50 yet. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, like, maybe they're just up and coming. They hadn't had the opportunity. But the top 50, they're head and shoulders above everybody else.
The best thing.
Then you go. Go ahead.
No, that's I see where you're coming from. The best thing ever happened to golf was Tiger Woods.
For sure. But then the everybody else, like me and maybe the 100th ranked guy in the world, like if I play my best and he plays his best, I think we're the same. The problem is I just have to – when I'm playing my worst, I still have to get enough out of it where I can get to the stage to showcase that. Does that make sense?
Right. So,
he's saying the best in like there was a kid in college that won regionals at Carson Creek where we played up in Stillwater, and I mean he shot like 15 under on this freaking hard golf course, and I was like, I think any tour player at best would have tied him. Mm-hmm. I mean he played unbelievable, and I was telling the guy that, and he's like, yeah, he said, you know. And the other thing he said is, you know, you just don't have to try to be perfect, you know. Just kind of try to get the most out of every round. That's really the key. You know, these guys don't hit every shot perfect, but they do chip and putt really good, and, you know, that sort of thing.
Do you ever shank one off the fucking drive like I do sometimes? Do you still do that ever?
You can't shank one off a drive for me. I can't. I can shank an iron, and I have before, but I can't shank a driver. That's pretty talented. I can top one on purpose, though.
Well, what gets me is you see these fuckers lined up when they're shooting off the tour, and these people are all lined up, and they got like an 8-foot deal opening for them. I'm thinking, motherfucker, you do that with me in there, somebody's going down probably.
Somebody's going to be losing some nuts.
Yeah.
My hat's off to you because I can't golf worth a shit.
You got that correct. That's the first thing that Andy said that is exact truth in a long time. He's the worst golfer I've ever seen in my life.
Awful, awful. I'm too.
You just suck at golf.
I just suck. There's no redeeming.
It's one of those things. No one's good unless they practice.
there's not a soul on this earth that was born to be a good golfer.
No, but there's some people.
The only way you can do it.
There, I was born not some to be
people,
a golfer, though.
There's some people out there, though, that can not pick up a stick and still go shoot 110 or 20 the first time they ever played.
Yeah, I agree. And I agree. There's athletes.
Andy's not an athlete when it comes to that. He fucking sucks. I mean, it's horrible.
I am when you said grit earlier, that is me. I'm a grinder at everything I do. I don't come across anything naturally. I'm not a gifted athlete naturally. Like, I'm a grinder. And that's just – it is what it is.
I got respect for that.
It is what it is. I mean, I'm going to – if I'm going to do something, I'm going to put my heart and soul into it, and I'm going to be one of the hardest workers there. But I am not natural at anything that I do. I'm not natural at having – at hosting a podcast. I'm not a natural killer in any sense where, you know.
You talk shit, though, better than anybody.
Well, it's, I
don't know.
It's a little.
You come play golf with some of these jokers, you might have met your match over here.
but I will grind, and I don't mind grinding.
Andy will look good. That's, in the parking lot.
Y'all, I'm sure y'all know a little bit about bull riding and stuff, right? A
little bit, yeah.
So, like, I try to – I mean, I'm a huge J.B. Mooney fan. I mean, everybody is. He's the greatest of all time.
Yep.
And so, I mean, like, I love his philosophy. Just, like, I'm going to try harder than everybody, you know. So I just try to, you know, bring that kind of to the golf course.
That's all you got to do. So you're going to – when's your next – you said your next tournament's in
this
a week?
This week.
This week or next week?
I'm tee off Friday in Nebraska.
So you're going to miss opening weekend of teal season in Texas.
I got nowhere to go. We used to go to this WMA, but every time I go, it seems like it sucks. So I ain't going to go to that anyways. And it's a little farther from my house now than it was from Huntsville or Crockett, where my parents live. I really had never had good luck teal hunting. I went down to Eagle Lake after I gave my statement, you know, people started coming out of the woodworks, taking me hunting.
Yeah.
So I got to go hunting with this guy. He's a Sam Houston alum, super nice guy. He took me down to Eagle Lake. He had a lease down there, and we whacked a couple, but there was some jerk that was driving around, and they thought he was bumping birds off their pond in the middle of the night and all kind of stuff. So
That's shitty.
Well, we sure appreciate you being on here. You've been an interesting cat. I hope to see you on the Masters one day.
And listen,
yes, sir.
You've got an open invitation. Anytime you come out here, and we'll shoot some birds and have some fun anytime.
For sure.
You just come on.
For sure. I'll be in touch. I love hunting, and I'd, you know, like to learn some stuff from you guys. So I appreciate
your
podcast. I've learned a lot in the last, you know, listening to it. So
well, we appreciate it. We appreciate you coming on here. Best of luck to you. And if you get a little bit of downtime, you know, we're only a couple hours away. So
yes, sir.
Come on
yes,
out, sir. And we'll have some fun, bud. So good luck. Well, have safe travels, and good luck to you.
Yes, sir. Let me know if y'all ever need anything golf wise, and I can maybe help you out, give you a tip, or you know.
You said you don't want to be a golf pro.
Listen, I'm going to give you some advice.
I feel like we're friends. I'm going to help.
Okay.
It doesn't mean I'm a jerk. I mean, just because I don't want to be a golf pro.
Listen, my piece of advice to you, and I don't know anything about golf, shoot more birdies.
That's right. Hey, I got on one of my clubs, they stamp them. It says hunt for birds.
Hunt for birds. So, that's what
hunt
you
hunt for, but F-O-R-E.
F-O, yeah.
Well, God bless you, and good luck to you
yes,
this
sir.
Weekend. If you need anything,
nice
you holler at
y'all.
Us. Hope to see you this
yes,
winter.
See you, buddy.
Yes, sir. Sounds Bye. Good. Y'all have a good one.
Bye. Thank you. Very fun kid.
He is.
His marriage story at the first cracked me up. I kept thinking, where's he going with this?
I was getting a little uneasy. I was getting worried. Because I could see.
He's going to talk himself into a circle like a lot of people do on here.
I if there's anybody that sticks their foot in their mouth on this podcast, it's me. I do it often, early and often. And there comes a moment when you're talking, your mouth is moving, but your brain is not really sure what you're saying. And when you get to that moment, he threw in God.
He pulled the big fella in. That was a good save.
I've never thrown in God in any of my arguments. I might try that more often because it's a automatic save.
It saved him right off the bat.
It did.
Because I was thinking, where are we going to end up here?
I could see the look in his eyes, and I could see the disconnect you know, between everything. So I feel for him because there's been many times on this podcast where I'm talking and I realize that I'm digging, but I can't stop digging because, you know.
Just bring up God.
But he is a good kid. And
wish him the best. That is a hard thing to break through. I mean, and if you ever break through, you're a millionaire for the rest of your life.
It's mental. The whole thing. I mean, you know, three or four days, and you've got to be in the right mental state every single one of those days. But, man, if you can ever get it to hit, like you said, you are set for life.
It's like from going rookie ball and pro baseball to the majors, right. Just right there. Boom, that quick.
Right. So he's got a good attitude. Yep. I think he'll do well, and he's a lot of fun. Hopefully we can get him out here this winter.
Yeah, I'd like to see him out here. He'd be fun to hang out with.
Talk a little bit more. So the Untamed Ginger, she was the name that got – God almighty, I'm dropping everything. She's the name that got picked out of the hat, so get a hold of us. We had a bunch of entries.
Tons.
I can't give a specific amount, but with everything that we did for the last 2 weeks, it was substantial. So we do appreciate everybody that entered, and we'll have another giveaway before too long. Unfortunately, there can only be one winner, and she was the name that we got out of the hat. So that's all I got.
All right, thank y'all so much. God bless y'all, and have a great week.
Check out all of our wonderful sponsors. You probably need a new goose or duck call. Check out Pacific Calls. Check out Dive Bomb Industry, Shin Gear Waiters, Boss Shot Shells. New website of Boss launches. It's already live right now. Dirty Duck Coffee, Lucky Duck, Looking Glass Duck Club, Gundog Outdoors, Goose Creek Retrievers, Bangtail Whiskey, Eyesight Drone Service, and Stanfield Hunting Outfitters.